Real Bad is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. If you want to explore more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head over to cageclub.me and check out some of our friends. Well, here we are.
Bom, bom, bom.
Have we been recording?
Yeah.
Is that all going in?
Thrilling.
2 years. 2 years later, and we're all back.
I think Matt has to go back to his original grading system for this.
I did in my notes.
Yeah, I also did in my notes.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that.
I was typing like, which Batman? No. How many possessed mushroom puppets is this?
Yeah. And I'm giving Star Wars a break today.
Yeah.
But here we are, 2 years later, and 100 episodes, and brought the original team back.
Guess who's back?
I tried.
Back again. God. It's me.
It's Rachel.
Rachel's back. Tell these friends.
I tried to find a troll-centered movie, but I couldn't.
We don't need that.
We could have watched DreamWorks Trolls.
I had heard that was fine.
Oh,
I fell asleep.
Oh, well, shit, I don't know.
There you go, mini Real Bad.
Trolls 2 looks kind of amazing. Like, right. the theme, the concept of it, it really intrigues
Spoiler
me.
Spoiler alert for your real good.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, also, I thought Trolls 2 already came out.
No.
I don't know.
My knowledge of the Trolls trailer is it either came out 3 years ago or it's coming out next year.
We're off
to a great start.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Please continue.
But I couldn't find a troll-centered film to do this on, especially not one that I thought people would enjoy. So I went down the list of things I thought people would enjoy, and I said, final episode, a movie that I have enjoyed, spoilers, on a couple occasions, and that is Cool as Ice, starring Vanilla Ice. And some other people. I dig the dad from Family Ties. And he's the mainstay in one of my favorite films of all time, Tremors. He's in Tremors, and he's amazing in Tremors.
On Amazon, the second name listed is Naomi Campbell, who is literally in the opening scene, and that's it.
Lip she syncing. Sings, all right, and like, then that's it.
Maybe literally it's all by she does. Appearance.
I guess. Amazon promise. I was like, oh, Naomi Campbell's in this movie. That's interesting.
And you start off like, yeah, Naomi Campbell's in this movie. And then
there she is.
Where'd she go?
Never again.
Gone after that. 1991, and Vanilla Ice was on top of the world at this point in his career. And I'll talk a little bit about where this rests in his career and what it is, but before we get too far into this, we have to do just a plot dump. Not going to even time it.
Whoa.
Yeah, because that's how we roll.
We didn't do introductions of any sort.
It's the last one, Nick.
You should know by now.
Nick is done.
I'm so done.
When he said the original crew is back, everyone should know what that means, Nicole.
Well, we gave Rachel the Rachel's back.
Rachel did get a song. That's
yeah.
true.
Hell
that's
yeah.
true. I'm your
Nicole's
host.
Nicole's back. All right. That's the only two back songs I could think of.
I'm the Matt. I'm the Matt. I'm the Matt.
What is this?
That's from... What's the Explorer?
Wait, I got one. This one's appropriate. It's not a song, but it's...
I hate you guys.
I'll be Matt. How about that one?
Yeah. Yo, Matt instead of back.
All right. So it's Matt, Rachel, Nicole, and Nick.
Yay!
Yay!
Nick's always here.
I did miss one.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Which was that? On the Line?
On the Line, a boy band movie, which I had so no interest in watching.
Well, you're welcome.
I know. I appreciated it.
He was quote unquote sick.
Yeah. He's like, oh, we're doing it on the line. Cough, cough.
Yeah.
Which you'll hear in the background today. But okay. So we've all been introduced now. where you need to do just a quick plot dump, Nicole.
Yes.
What's Cool as Ice?
Vanilla Ice is traveling, and then he breaks down. Well, he winds up in this town. His homeboy. Well, I was going to say he runs into this girl who is riding a horse when he first arrives in this town. And then his homeboy, his motorcycle breaks down. And so they have to stay in this town for a few days while some, like, apparently incompetent people fix this motorcycle.
Enthusiastic, but incompetent.
Yeah, but and like also they stay with the people who are fixing the motorcycle. Sure. And while they're staying there waiting for this motorcycle to be fixed, Vanilla Ice decides to stalk the horse girl and make the horse girl fall in love with him. But then, plot twist, horse girl's dad is in witness protection and went on TV, even though he was in witness protection.
He was trying to cover his face.
I mean, okay, but like literally,
he did the worst job.
Right, doing the worst job. He could have just said no and like not done that.
But he had to brag about his daughter on the news, Nicole.
You think after 20 years he got comfortable?
Whatever. Anyway, so
we can explore that later.
Witness protection dad tells horse girl that she can't trust this new guy who's in
Johnny
Vanilla Ice because he is very sure that he saw him with the bad guys that he's hiding from in witness protection. And then the bad guys kidnap horse girl's little brother, and then Vanilla Ice saves the little brother. And then
because he's good at listening to tapes.
Yes.
He has a good memory.
Horse Girl's dad decides that Vanilla Ice is okay. The end.
Yep.
Just like the world did. Hey, Vanilla Ice, you're okay.
Oh, boy. Not after this movie they didn't. Or right around this movie. So that was very good. There's not a lot to this movie. Like, they put a dance sequence at the beginning, at the end, at the end, because I'm pretty sure the movie was not long enough. Like, there is not a lot here.
There's also one in the middle. But that one sort of makes sense within the context. And it almost, like, after the opening song and then that second song, I was like, oh, it's going to be like a musical. Like, there'll be fun musical numbers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there wasn't another one until the very end.
Yes, correct.
No, I was hoping for a musical.
It wasn't sure what it really was.
Yes.
They're supposed to be a rap crew.
Like, yeah.
All the people on the motorcycles are a rap crew that are traveling the world. And that beginning and ending are supposed to be performances at clubs.
Yes.
Even though they look like they're in abandoned warehouses.
That seems appropriate for the 90s, though.
Yeah.
80s, 90s.
But it just looked like, to me, it looked like every other 90s music video. And then to read online the plot synopsis is like, after their performance at a club, I was like, that was it. Okay.
Well, sure. They're clearly clubs of some sort where they're like serving alcohol. Horse Girl is in high school and all of her friends are in high school and they're at this bar drinking and like that's just
they're
a
not
thing
sugar
that happens.
Shack.
The Sugar Shack, yeah. It's a club.
She wants a Diet Coke.
But the friends.
Everyone else is clearly drinking and she's not opposed because
she
of, like,
doesn't. Horse
drinking.
Girl doesn't.
She's
yeah.
opposed because he's driving.
Yeah, but he has like his own bottle. Oh. I don't think this place serves alcohol.
Oh, interesting.
I think they did, because he asks her, what does she want? Like, he's going to get
like
it.
He has options
right.
for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, but then he held up the bottle of, like, whiskey.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I'm saying there might be some flaws in this movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the answer is within this film. I don't think we can rewatch this and, like, clarify for sure.
Yeah. Also, she's, like, very clearly in her, like, mid to late 20s. That's why with, like, the reveal that she was in high school,
are.
I was like, what the, like, what? Why?
Yeah, but what movie doesn't have actors?
Pre-2000 specifically. You go pre-2000 and all of these teenagers are in their 40s.
Yeah,
like, it's
exactly.
Wild.
Yeah, especially like if you watch like, oh, there was a great show called Head of the Class. Wasn't great. I take that back. It was a show.
there was a show called
Head of the Class and all of those actors were like, you're well past college.
It's just really bewildering because the plot isn't served in any way by having her be in high school. Like, why? Like, I mean, I guess
you're right.
She's
we
like,
never
yes.
see her go to school.
No.
Well, she is graduating, right?
She's graduating, and there's the question of if she's going to go away to go away to this other college. But like, that's one or two lines of dialogue here or there. She could be, a 21, 22-year-old who lives with her parents, and this movie would be the same.
Yes, because all we need to establish is that she's rich and she's smart.
Right.
And Vanilla Ice is not rich and pretty dumb.
See, you make her up like a bartender. Like, she couldn't get out of her old town, so she's a bartender, and it's a country bar, but then he goes in, and he does this whole rap thing, and then all of the cowboys are like, woo, we like rap now.
You fixed us.
That's how you fix this fucking movie. But
that is a choice.
It's a choice.
It is a choice.
I'd say that is a hard line 90s choice.
Yeah. That's the sequel. That's like a whole other film.
Oh, that's the Blues Brothers.
That is also the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, see? So there's a good movie. So this was at the tippy top height of Vanilla Ice's career, and he is sort of a one hit wonder. So he had Ice Ice Baby, which, you know, he ripped off from Queen and David Bowie, but
legally speaking, he didn't.
Yeah.
It's
the courts now would probably rule that he did.
Yeah.
The courts then ruled that he did not.
Yeah.
Right.
He sampled it.
Yeah.
He was. So I was in junior high when that was out, and it was big. And I can't put into words how big it was. Like, everybody loved that song. Ice Ice Baby was huge.
And, so, like, Old Town Road big?
Kind of, yeah. Like, I would say it's...
Would you say that Ice Ice Baby is the Old Town Road of 1990?
I think Old Town Road is significantly better than Ice Ice Baby.
All right.
But, regardless, he could kind of do no wrong. And but there was an incredible shift happening right then. Like,
can we acknowledge real quick that his real name is Rob Van Winkle?
Wait, what is it?
Vanilla Ice's real name is Rob Van Winkle.
Like his actual, his birth on his name. Birth certificate. Yes.
Wow.
Now you see why he goes by Vanilla Ice.
Wow. There's like a whole other future. There's like another timeline in which he became a magician.
Hey, I'm Rob Van Winkle.
Oh, God. Yep. That is his name. Apparently, he's a pretty good motorcycle rider. He was a top-rated jet ski racer. I didn't know you could race jet skis.
Yeah, he could ride motorcycles and dance. And this movie tried, after realizing that he could not act, this movie was like, cool, go ride this motorcycle.
Okay, so people think you're pretty. People know you ride motorcycles, and they know you rap. Can we do all three of those for an hour and a half? Yes? Cool.
That's pretty much what this movie is, but... So there was a shift that happened right around 1991, which is when this came out. You had Nirvana's Nevermind came out. And right before that, you had Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch sort of make all of this accessible rap irrelevant. So, because like Marky Mark was still accessible, but just a little tougher looking.
And like, he could beat up Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus, didn't he actually nearly kill someone?
Yes. Okay. That's something we don't want to get into.
No, but you get to put, like, there, so he was rendered, like, he had Ice Ice Baby, and then he had Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2?
Yep.
Okay. So he had those two things, and then this movie comes out, and it was critically panned. And audience, it cost $6 million and it made a total of $1.6 million back. So it did not do well.
I'm trying to think. I have not watched the trailer for this film, but like, I don't know how you sell this movie to anyone.
Yes.
Because there's nothing in it.
Yes.
First of all, nothing happens really, as we've kind of discussed. But also, would you just show like shots of him jumping motorcycle tricks and rapping?
Yeah, motorcycle tricks. The bit where he and Horse Girl are like out in the desert, that like the only time where they appear to have any real chemistry, that like montagey stuff.
Yeah, you know, the second of two montages back to back.
Yes,
when they're in love now.
When they're in love now, they're in love now montage.
Yeah. The first one is awkward date montage, followed quickly by we're in love now montage.
Uh-huh.
That take you place also, on the same day.
You also definitely use the clip from Naomi Campbell's like 5 second, you know, like you overplay.
For the Nicoles out there who go, right. Naomi Campbell's in this movie.
I think I've seen the trailer because I've previously watched this for like a horror movie marathon. Not horror. What am I saying?
Bad movie marathon.
Bad movie marathon. So many marathons. And I remember watching this and being like, I want to watch this. Like, this should be in one of them. And then, yeah. Hmm. Pleasantly surprised, I would say, when I watched it.
I would also say pleasantly surprised. There are many problems with this film, but pleasantly surprised still applies.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into that. Like, let's talk about our reactions. Matt, you're already... How are you pleasantly surprised?
Well, my past with Vanilla Ice.
That's your memoir.
Yes. Oh, no. If I'm ever going to write a book...
It's set in stone, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very... I mean, Nick has more of a past with Vanilla Ice than I do.
But that's not my memoir. It's not my story to tell.
Here's the whole audiobook right now.
Go for it.
When I was a kid, my sisters were like in high school at this time. So Vanilla Ice was on their radar. They were a little bit more of like hair metal girls. So I don't know that they like had a crush on him. But I definitely know I got a hand-me-down t-shirt that I wore for a lot longer than Vanilla Ice was relevant. So that is my entire history of Vanilla Ice.
To be fair, he wasn't relevant that long.
There was a very small window.
Yeah, but it was like it was a like a medium shirt, and I was like and so it was like a night shirt to wear around the house. I'm cool because I have a teenager's Vanilla Ice shirt. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then by the time like I was old enough to make the decision to wear that or not anymore, I was like, I don't know any song besides Ice Ice Baby by this man.
No one does.
Yes. So that was my history with Vanilla Ice. I don't have much perception of this man. I don't know. I know he has a reality show or had a reality show where he flips houses.
He's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like he shows up on all kinds of reality shows.
Yes. That's what these people do. These one hit wonders from the 80s and 90s. But yeah, I was aware of this movie for a long time. I knew he had made a movie. In one of the episodes where he flips a house, he like puts this like really cool home theater in a house, and in the theater he puts up like movie poster spots on the wall, and in the movie poster spots he puts up two posters.
No.
Cool as Ice.
Oh no.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh no.
The two movies he's in.
You got to get beyond this, Rob.
No, it's all he's got.
You think people call him Rob, or you
I
think
hope
them
so.
Call him
Ice
Vanilla?
They probably call him Ice or Rob.
I'd go with Vanilla.
Oh man, that's hard to. That's a lot to say.
It's too long.
Yo, Vanilla. Hey, Vanilla.
It's like I wouldn't want any of you to call me Nicholas. It's too long. You know. So Ice.
Please, Vanilla is my father. You can call me Ice. But yeah, I think I avoided watching it ever because I assumed it was boring and like poorly made and just, I don't know, like a cash grab, which I'm sure it still was.
It's
definitely a cash grab.
I think if you saw the trailer, you would not have thought it was boring.
That is possible. after watching it, I don't think it's boring. It's not poorly made in like the way it's shot.
Yeah, because the
Schindler's List cinematographer is the one who did it.
What the heck?
Janusz Kaminski, man. We all got to start somewhere. Yes. And he started with stuff like this. And I remember when I was watching it at Fecal Film Fest, which is the first place I saw it. Mm-hmm. I remember some of the opening shots going, well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and like I don't know how much say he had over this kind of thing, but like the whoever was working together with like the set design, that house they end up at with the motorcycle repair couple.
Yeah, the house is, yes.
It's really cool and weird. And it reminded me of the Robin Williams movie Toys, in that every room has a theme that doesn't make sense, but everyone likes to hang out in these weird rooms just so we can show them off. My guess is maybe that house already existed in some way, and they were like, hey, we could use this to film in.
I don't think
Well, it doesn't make any sense to have that house in this movie.
Nothing makes any sense.
But the thing is, the best parts of this movie are the parts where it feels like a music video, and that whole house feels like
that
a
is
music
fair.
Video.
Yes.
Well, David Kellogg, who directed this, is a music video director.
That's
where he came
too.
From. Then he directed Inspector Gadget, and that's it. He went back to making music videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's going to happen.
That, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think the house makes sense to me, just because, like, they're weird, eccentric art couple.
Oh, yes, but as far as, like, necessary to the movie, like, literally, his motorcycle's kind of breaking down, and it breaks down. It doesn't break down in front of their house. It's breaking down on, like, the main street in this small town, and so Vanilla Ice is towing this motorcycle through this small town, and suddenly they see this weird house, and they, like, say, hey, look at that weird house, and they stop. The guy runs out, offers to try and buy this motorcycle, and then decides to fix it instead.
Well, no, he thinks it's somebody coming to sell him a motorcycle.
Right. Look, I was with you on this house doesn't make sense until I looked to my right and Rachel uttered the words, they're a weird, eccentric art couple, and I realized that this is Sam and Rachel.
This is Sam and Rachel's
this
house.
This is Sam and Rachel's
and
future.
I also want to say that I'm wearing all green right now. It's not a onesie. It's all green attire. But that's besides the point. I think that the house makes total sense in the in the movie, because, and this is why I was pleasantly surprised first round, and then thinking second round, like, this movie is kind of good, because like, if you tweaked some things, which I'll get into later, then I know this is going to be a very bold statement. That's
what we're about here.
The last episode, go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah. Hot takes, nothing but hot takes.
You can turn this movie into like cheesy 90s movies to almost avant-garde. And I think that the house kind of makes sense in the sense of the movie, because your opening shots from when you are introduced to this neighborhood is the Boy Scouts with the American flag, the dad with the, like, riding the John Deere lawnmower, and like the old man with the bowling ball. All of these are like
Norman Rockwell, yeah, kind of classic Americana. Like
Americana iconography. And then you have this like weird house, and of all the people, like, you have this like metaphor for this weird house. In contrast, you see this group of like traveling rappers on these like neon colored motorcycles
with no equipment whatsoever,
and like, I think it's so bizarre, but also like, to me, it makes sense.
I agree that if they had ramped it up, like, and made like those things, like, I think that's my problem with like a lot of this movie, is there's little glimmers of hope in there that I'm like, oh, if you had made that more important or focused more on making that a thing, this could have been a better movie. And I think that's
like leaning more into these absurdities.
Yeah,
yes,
like leaning
totally
into that absurdity even more, and like having this house be like four stories tall and rising out. And
well, you could have the whole town be like Edward Scissorhands Town.
Yes, yeah, like they don't want to look or walk by that house. Like, but no one really seems to care that it's different or weird or sits there. It's conveniently located right across the street from Horse Girl.
And Horse Girl's family's house is so grounded in reality.
Yeah.
That it, and the rest of the world is, yes, really. It's so grounded that house does make me kind of go, why are you here?
This, yeah.
Because nobody else is drawing attention to it. So that's, I think, where Matt's coming from.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with, like, the house. I'm saying, like, I think it's weird that they didn't give it enough of, like, a character or an excuse to be in there. Like, I'm okay with this kooky couple having the kooky house. It just felt like there should be something. Somebody should mention it.
Right.
Besides, whoa, look. Like, yeah, which is kind of all they did.
I have a feeling all of our fixes are going to end up in a similar boat here.
I mean, maybe. But yeah, I think my reaction overall besides that was that, yeah, there's not much that happens. It's kind of, it's a fun movie in certain spots. It's a pretty movie in certain spots. And I don't care much about Vanilla Ice's music, but I didn't mind it in this.
Yeah.
Like, if that makes sense. Like, when he has his, like, rap break, I wasn't cringing and being like, oh, God, fast forward through this.
Right. It's not a moment where you're, yeah, there's so many of those movies where they do those things and you're like, oh, this is so bad.
Well, and I will even say that I think there, and I'm not going to have examples to pull out because I didn't think about this beforehand, I think there are worse examples of musicians turned actors than Vanilla Ice. Yeah. I don't think he's good as an actor in this.
He's very bad.
But I think there are worse out there. And I think they gave him the right amount of stuff to do, which is like a line every few minutes. And is that line going to make sense? No. But he's going to deliver it in a way that he thinks it makes sense.
Yeah, I honestly did not think that he was all that bad. Like, obviously he could have done, like, they could have done more, but they used him in the range that they could use him with.
See, I disagree. I disagree twofold.
Ooh.
One, I think he's terrible.
Yes.
But two, I think...
You don't like Looky, Looky, Looky in Cat's Black Bookie?
No.
I love that line.
No,
to be fair, I think my favorite is the let's G-O. Like, you just spelled out a two-letter word.
You want it to be multiple syllables.
You literally made it longer.
Yeah. Or the one where he's like, I'm gone, like yesterday.
At which point, both Matt and I were like,
Wait,
what?
Okay, so you're saying you're leaving. Like, yesterday's already left.
Okay.
All right. Which is how, like, most of his lines that he delivers like that, you have to sit for a second, like, I don't think that really makes sense, but you seem committed to that. Like, I mentioned to Nick, it sounds like he's trying to coin new phrases every mm-hmm. time he says something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I almost feel like he's, like, ad-libbing in this. And it's like, oh, he's ad-libbing in this.
He might be.
That's kind of amazing.
Well, my other counter to that uh-huh. was that I don't think they played enough. He's so bland for the most part. Like, yeah, his outfit is big. He's got the biggest jacket in California. Like, it's a huge jacket. And, you know, but he himself is just sort of plain. And there were moments, though, like when the sprinklers go off on him, where I was like, oh, they should have played more into him being a bit of a bumbling idiot. Because he's kind of idiotic. Like, mm-hmm. his whole thing is very idiotic. And if he'd been more of that character, but they're trying.
He's like a lovable idiot.
Yeah.
Right.
But instead, they're trying to play him off as a badass, but they don't give him a personality to go along with that badassness.
Right.
So therefore, I'm just sort of staring at him.
That's fair. Because the movie does want you to think he's a cool badass.
Yeah. Right?
As I enjoyed him more than you guys did, but I still didn't think, oh, look at that badass. Yeah. So.
No, I was surprised when he won that fight. I was like, really? Okay. That's weird.
And
but.
To the point about all of his lines being like ridiculous and nonsensical, the best lines for me were, and I don't know if this is like less the dialogue, the script is just so bad, but the actress who played Horse Girl is not given a ton to do, but like she was out there trying her best
with
the nothing Vanilla Ice was giving her. And the best parts were the couple of times where she basically repeats back to him what he just said in a mocking tone. I was like, yes, that. Great. So like somebody understands that none of this makes any sense. I appreciate it.
It's like she's almost calling him on his bullshit.
Yeah.
And like, it's almost as if they've been dating for 5 years.
Yes.
And like, yes. He suddenly adopted this rap persona and she's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, come on, again, Ice. To the point of her being in high school, like the degree at this 17-year-old who's like, I'm not wearing pants and a man I met yesterday is now in my room and I'm totally comfortable and okay with this. No.
Dripping ice into my mouth while I sleep.
Okay, let's talk about that, because that, I was so confused. I had no idea what was happening.
When I watched that scene the second time, I was like, I don't remember this scene. Was it a dream sequence? Or?
Well, it's lit dreamy.
Yes, it's very glowy.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be a sweet moment.
Well, no, it is. That's the problem. The movie doesn't understand that it's ridiculous and weird.
Yes.
And I mean, to me, I'm looking at him going, is he just shoving his fingers in her mouth? And that's her drool? What is happening?
He's like melted an ice cube in his hand and like
he's
dripping
cool
it.
As ice.
No,
he's
I got
warmer.
It.
If he was cool as ice, it wouldn't be melting, Rachel.
You had to rub his hands together.
It was so weird. So
it's like they like heard. You're like, you know, I hear some people like use like ice cubes in like sexual situations. We should do that. It's like, okay, but how do they... I don't know. Just
maybe
drip it in her mouth.
Maybe he did it as for her sakes because she's just waking up and she
dehydrated.
Probably had bad breath, and so he wants her.
You can't even defend this.
It was truly a joy to watch you try just now. I was like, where is she going to go with this?
You know, bad mouth. Why rinse your mouth out with water?
Well, the thing is, it goes from confusing to gross very quickly. Because you're like, at first, like, we see her sleeping face. Mm-hmm. We just saw her, like, get ready for bed, go to bed. And then we see her, like, waking up in the morning with water dripping into her face. And you're like, what is about to happen? And then you see his, like, hand above her, like, dripping. You're just like, that's just gross.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like that, imagine waking up, like water running into your mouth, and you're just like, ha, 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 ha.
Like basically everything he does in his attempts to court a horse girl is like, no, I don't want it. Please.
I would
don't
disagree.
Do it.
I mean, I would say it. Everything but the ice cube. Is
you shouldn't steal her address book.
Cute.
I'm still not even sure that he did. I honestly feel like.
Did she drop it?
I feel like she dropped it on the way out of the car or something. Or I think it could be either. I don't know what happened.
I don't know how he got it.
Yes, I do not know how he got that. I'm just saying he could have stolen it, and that's shitty.
Yeah.
But we didn't see that, so therefore I'm like, well, maybe he did just pick it up after she walked by? I don't... And then but he's so proud of it. I would never be so proud of having someone's black book information that I didn't know.
Right.
Like...
Yes. So even if he just... Yes. Even if he just picked it up after she walked... Like, still, however he came by it...
Yeah.
like, yeah. That was weird. What? What are you doing?
It was weird. But okay, so we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Rachel, so you saw the trailer and were immediately like, this is for me. I want to see this.
No. Sorry, Rachel. This is the actor of the century.
This is the bridge I'm burning. Where was I? Well, yes, we watch like maybe the committee watches like 25 different trailers,
mm-hmm.
and we have to narrow that down to 4 movies basically, and that was like my top pick, just because it looked fun and wacky, and I don't remember. I tend to fall asleep during middle of the way of those of that marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So
you guys bring in beanbags and blankets.
Yeah,
and
it's,
like...
you know, 4 movies, so that's like 8 hours long. Sometimes there's a lot of snacking, so you
good
just
snacks.
Have...
There's quality snacks.
Yes, you just have crap body.
Yes.
So, but the second time around, I was just like sitting there watching it and being like, I know this is like supposed to be bad, but honestly, like I've watched so many bad movies, and this is just like on the cusp of just being a movie. And like, could like, obviously there are things that we could tweak, and obviously it's falls victim to being a older movie from like the 90s or early 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, late 80s. But, like, there are so movies that come out of that era that have those tendencies and are way worse. And, yes, it's cheesy, but I feel like I never got, you know, like, secondhand...
embarrassment?
Yeah, secondhand embarrassment. I feel like I never got that watching this movie, when you can so easily get it from, like, something like The Room.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Yeah. If you compare this, I see your point there.
Like, do you feel bad for the people involved in this movie?
I do feel a little bit bad for Vanilla Ice, just a little bit.
I don't feel bad because he's rolling with people he likes. He's rolling with people who like wear the same crazy outfits as him, and like he finds people who like end up taking him in and helping him fix his friend's motorcycle, and who are just as wacky and brightly colored clothes as he is. So I don't feel bad for any of the characters.
No, not the character.
I don't feel bad for him. And like, I also don't think that the romance part is all too, like, yes, there are aspects that are probably a little weird, but there are also aspects that I feel like we're coming from a background of like, or just feel a little bit more realistic, because like there's no scene where they're like having sex. There's no scene where they're like naked or anything like that. And I feel like
little brother put the kibosh on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of thing in a movie from the early 90s is not, like, you don't see that too often.
Well, something Matt and I were talking about that I found kind of interesting, because this was my second viewing of it in totality. And I was actually, like, I was amazed at how much I was there with her for her thought processes on things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't, like, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. But when she's presented with a lot of things, she makes believable choices,
mm-hmm.
which
a lot of people in this era of movies, especially, like one that we talked about was when she finds the phone number of the other girl like, in his pocket. She doesn't like do what you would expect in like a sitcom or a movie of this era, and like, leave, get out, no, da, da. Like, she like kind of lets him explain himself, and then jokes about it, and like is like, that's no big deal. Like, clearly you're here with me, whatever. Who's Monique? Who cares? And it was like, oh, that's kind of refreshing that that didn't like turn into a huge deal.
Well, the other thing is also, so after we find, when once the meat of the story happens, which is
what again?
The meat of the story is it's all about being a witness protection and good cops and bad cops, and that's the meta narrative. Once that's explained to her, I appreciated seeing her having doubts about Johnny, but also sticking to her guns and like trying to be careful about things. Like,
she didn't immediately go like, I can't see you, my dad said no.
But at the same time,
but she also didn't like immediately run to him.
Yes,
either.
Right.
Yes.
It puts her in a position of like, no, this would be very confusing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just found out your parents have been lying to you for your entire life about something.
Yeah.
And this guy, but you also kind of trust the guy you just met yesterday, but you did just meet him yesterday. So.
But then she also has this moment a little bit after that, which I was also there for, where she's going like, I don't think he is a part of any problem.
Look at his clothes.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, this doesn't make
real
sense.
Dumb. This is, yeah, the things that you guys are saying to me do not actually make sense.
And I really appreciated that. And the first viewing, I was just too enamored with the world this movie had created. But on the second one, I was just sort of, I don't know. There was something, I agree with Matt, there was something very refreshing about her character through this. She doesn't have a huge arc, right? Like, I'm not saying it's great writing, but there was something refreshing about it. That from this era, especially movies we've watched on this podcast, where especially the women are just written so poorly and so bizarrely, but that didn't happen here. I was with her for every decision. I was like, this is great. She's the smart one. She's the one who's making rational decisions. She's not petrified like her father, who, granted, is scary shit.
Yeah.
But like, she's
he has bad men chasing him.
Yeah, but at the same time, she's also like, in weird ways, making calm, rational decisions. So I don't know. I appreciated that.
Yeah, like
of her.
I really liked the scene when they're right after they're dancing at the Sugar Shack, and he's like, Why'd you come dance with me if you weren't gonna spend time with me or something like that? And then she says, like, because I could.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did it because I knew I wanted to, or I could, or something like that. And I also don't necessarily think, like, I think that he is a dum-dum compared to him, but I think that he's a sincere dum-dum, and I feel like that is also something you wouldn't see too often as well.
Oh, I don't think he's a bad guy.
Yeah, like when he's talking to the dad, and the dad's like, you can't see her anymore, and he says, well, isn't that her decision? And I think, like,
actually, there's a good comedy beat there that I was surprised at.
Yeah, and
which is, she's not here. Yo, she's right behind you.
Right behind
she's like,
you.
Literally, like, he's like, she's not here, and she like is standing 1 foot behind
very
him.
Good. And I think like lines like that just aren't like feel so uncommon for like 91.
Well, I think. Go ahead.
Well, even the culmination of the movie, like at the very, very end, when like, they've saved Tommy from the kidnappers, and they're about to like the. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna go to college? You're gonna run away with me? Like, instead of like her making that hard choice, she goes, "College doesn't start tomorrow."
Yeah,
like her reaction is like, "I can go with you right now. College doesn't start tomorrow." So it's like, oh, she's not giving up college to spend time with Vanilla Ice. She's going to spend time with Vanilla Ice now, and then probably still go to college.
She's going to go live a little bit of her life, which is nice. No, who doesn't get kidnapped, though, is her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also refreshing. It was the little brother.
Yeah.
Who also had an attitude.
He wanted to be like Vanilla Ice.
He did. Did his own hair.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I think that this is like the kind of movie where, like, if you do get into, like, some of the semantics, then, like, you have the opportunity to be like, oh, interesting. But, like, obviously there are some semantics where you're like, why did they do that? But
no,
that is to be expected for a lot of, like, quote-unquote bad movies.
It's a shitty movie. Like, I'm not saying this movie is a good movie. I was just saying it's got some elements to it that I'm like, well, that's refreshing. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I want
Nicholas stuff to say.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to hear what Nicholas has to say, because the faces she's been making at us when we try to make what we're saying...
I feel like she strongly disagrees.
I strongly disagree. I'm not like, there's not really that much for me to say though, because like I disagree on such a fundamental level that this in some ways feels like a really fitting way to end the podcast.
Bewildered.
Right? Yeah, that's what I was like, I'm going to have to come because, to this swinging because I'm going to be the only one who liked this.
Well, to be clear, I was not unhappy. This is what I texted Nick. I was like, this is a very bad movie, but I am not unhappy. Like,
which is exactly what I was happy to hear because I was like, I don't want to make anyone miserable for this final episode.
But, yeah, it's fun to watch.
This is the thing, though, right? Like, part of why I stopped being on as many episodes at a certain point is because the, like, troll-esque movies, like the kinds of things that you guys watch for Fecal Film Fest, nothing about that is fun to me.
Right.
Like, that is not an experience that I am into. And part of, and, like, I hear what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. Part of what I am hearing in this conversation is that you guys have a baseline that is on the floor. and because they
have, we've been through some shit,
right,
Nicole.
Yes, and so because this movie has like exceeded a bar that you could literally trip over, you're like, oh wow, this is refreshing. Like, I am coming at this from such a radically different vantage point that I'm like, that I sort of feel like I get it, I understand the baseline, like the things that you are comparing it to, but because you are comparing it to things that I have no interest in experiencing, right, to me it sounds like we're saying, let's give this movie a cookie for like all the ways it wasn't terrible. Yeah. Like,
this is better than torture.
Yeah, give this movie a cake.
Give this movie a cake, right? For like, for not torturing me, is just like that is just not something to which I can relate. So, like, I understand what you are saying. I fundamentally disagree, but I disagree because we're talking about just such vastly different metrics for comparison that it is pointless for me to try to weigh in.
I'm very curious for the real good part, what it's going to be. So I can't wait for the
we'll
reveal.
We'll get there. I also want to see if I can clarify something because I do think some of these things are good for bad movies, which is kind of what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And this our baseline, look, when you like bad movies, okay?
Oh, there have been movies on this podcast where I've literally been like, sort of like balled up on the couch, like, let it be over. Please, just, can I fast forward
so
this
when
movie?
You get Cool as Ice, you're like, hey!
Yeah.
I also expected, I was like, all right, I was on the first episode, like, I get it, we always said, like, we're gonna come back and do episode 100, who knows what Nick is gonna make me watch, so, like, genuinely also on team pleasantly surprised.
You went in full of fear.
Yeah! It's like, oh no, what's this gonna be?
I know, I think one of the... It's funny, but also like sad to me was the revelation of like when Nicole was like, oh, when you said bad movies,
oh, no.
I wasn't expecting.
You didn't mean like cheesy rom-coms. you meant.
But then we had this great conversation about like trash. And like trash is not necessarily bad. It's trash, you know.
I love trash.
Yeah, I do too. And I feel like this is more trashy. In some respects, it's still bad, but it is more trashy. But the point I wanted to make was like the things that I was talking about with Horse Girl, for instance, and her decisions and stuff like that.
Her name
stuff,
is Kathy.
Kathy.
Yeah. Cat.
To
She's
ice.
Horse Girl.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you guys all willingly went with me.
Oh, it's often whatever is said in the plot dump, we all are just like, that's their name.
Horse Girl.
But like being with her and making those decisions, those are problems that I'm still having in modern cinema that is, you know, sometimes in Marvel films and stuff that it's like, really, that's what you're going to do for your relationship. Really?
I will split what I just said in half, which is to say, I feel what you're saying right now, Horse Girl. I think the defenses of the like romantic plot all fall into this. Your bar is on the floor. Like,
I don't know about that one for me.
I don't know. I think that I found this because I hate relationships in movies 90% of the time. And this one didn't. The stalking part at the beginning was like, oh no, that's bad. But I don't know. There comes a point where I'm like, I don't feel like there's
a problem
there. Here.
There's nothing there. There's just nothing.
There is nothing there. And I think
disagree.
Well, I agree with Nicole on this, that there's nothing there. One thing I do like about that, though, the fact that there is nothing there, is that this movie does not get bogged down or into trouble with the him needing to convince her that she should like
him.
Which is where I assumed this movie was going when you have, like, guy from wrong side of the tracks meets the smart horse girl.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Like, usually that involves a solid 10, 15 minutes of, like, here's why you should like me. And in this, like, the moment she's walking up with her boyfriend and sees Vanilla Ice, she's like, whoa, 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 hold on. Who's this gentleman? I like him. And, like, immediately is more interested in Vanilla Ice than she is in Nick.
Right, right.
Yeah, which,
right.
Not you, Nick. Nick in the movie. That's the boyfriend's name.
Yeah, I'm way better than Nick, her boyfriend, but I'm not better than Johnny.
So. And I think, like, jumping on that as well, like, she already has a dick of a boyfriend,
right?
And like,
who everyone calls a dick in this
obviously
movie.
Obviously, clearly, like, attracted.
No,
to
her
Johnny.
Shitty friends all think he's great.
That is weird.
What, like, the fuck was that?
After her and Johnny have their little, like, quote unquote breakup, she hangs out with her terrible friends
who are all the worst.
Like, you should go back with your shitty boyfriend. He's your only option
you
now.
You better
know who
beg
else
him
had
to
shitty
take
friends.
You back?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer in Buffy movie. So.
In the movie?
Yeah, she had shitty friends. They want her to date, what's his name?
Luke Perry?
Not Pike. Yeah. No, not Luke Perry.
I was in the movie in like
10
years.
Yeah, it was Luke Perry.
No, they didn't want her to date Luke Perry because Luke Perry was Pike, the rough kid from her friends wanted her to date.
They didn't want her to date him.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, they wanted her to date the guy who is not good, who is a dick.
Who is popular.
Which is like, yes, like not only is it weird that like they're saying basically you have no other choice after you have lost these two guys
right
than other to go back to first guy like
yes.
That's weird,
yes,
but two, also they clearly have not heard a single thing she has said to them about her life
ever. They suck so much.
They also only exist in that scene.
That's it.
Like, they don't exist. We don't have any sort of relationship with them,
yes,
to show that, like, oh, okay, these are her friends who were here for her during this. Mm-hmm. Like, no, the only time we see her have friends is when they are not supporting her and telling her to go back to her shitty boyfriend. But
no, yeah. her friends are terrible.
So, I think, like, I will get into this a little bit more in the fix. But at the same time, as I agree with, I like the simplicity of not having to convince her to like him, that she's just kind of into him. I do wish there was a little bit more there and that it got a little bit more interesting.
I mean, there is also, like, when she is, you know, like, not when she starts avoiding him because she has legitimate concerns about whether or not he, like, I don't know, this revelation about her dad being in witness protection, he turns it into, like, well, you're just doing what daddy tells you.
That is,
like,
yeah, that's a bad
those,
moment.
That bit's, like,
I don't think he knows what's happening,
no,
though.
No, he doesn't. But still, like, I don't know, like, she's blowing you off and you're like, you're still just going to do what daddy tells you?
He falls into the terrible, like, the cliche version of his character.
Yes.
For, like, a couple lines. That, like, throughout most of this, he's not really, like, leaning on that. At the beginning, they mention something about it when they see her on TV. Something about, like, a daddy's girl.
Uh-huh.
And then he doesn't really bring that up again until the moment where he's, like, hurt by her.
Yes.
And he lashes out with, like, the terrible line.
Okay, but specifically, he has witnessed her father saying.
Right, but the way he says that is not, like, a reasonable, calm way to, like, bring up that point.
No, because he's an idiot.
Yes, but that is...
He's an idiot. We've decided
this. But that's an exceptionally, like, dickish move that we haven't seen him portrayed as throughout the rest of the movie.
It feels accurate to me.
No.
I didn't say it feels good. Yeah. I said it feels accurate. It feels like, yeah, that
to
would
me
happen.
In that, like, that could easily be a moment where if she did not go back to him, I'd be like, no, like,
right,
he did that super shitty thing to you that one time, like, don't do that,
right?
Like, that I could totally see that being, like, a legitimate reason for her if she did not want to hang out with him again.
I'm confused.
Sure. I'm just saying that, like, that is a moment I completely forgot about even happening in the movie,
right.
But that is a moment where he does sort of, like, do something that is on par with the dick boyfriend things, where it's like, okay, now you have two shitty dudes in your life.
Yes, like, there's, yeah, I don't know, like he's an idiot, like, that, this is the thing, I'm saying, like, this relationship is nothing, and then, like, the defense is, well, he's an idiot, like, I just, like, what?
Yeah,
what do we say? No!
He makes a bad call, and, like, he doesn't physically do anything to her, like, Jesus Christ, can't believe him fucking defending Vanilla Ice, but like, he
maybe that should make you think about your defense.
It's like, they're having a good time and they're bonding as much as this movie can force them to have some sort
of
chemistry.
They hang out once at a construction site, to be fair.
Two montages, man. Two.
It's the same day. They hang out at the construction site in a desert.
Two montages. That got us through almost 12 hours of the day. It's 12 hours. Things are going places. And then he witnesses the father tell him, well, I'm not allowing her to see you.
Uh-huh.
And then later, he's thinking that's the only reason because dad said that. Well, fuck, that's fucked up. And then he's lashing out. I don't know. It's like the worst. It just doesn't seem like that worst to me. It just seems like, yeah, he said something stupid because he was angry and hurt.
Yeah.
But he didn't even like, I don't know. I feel like on a scale of these things, that one doesn't bother me that much.
I don't get how saying the worst. I didn't mean to say that it was the worst.
Okay.
I'm saying he's not good. Like, there's nothing, you still have not given me any sort of there.
Like, basically the defense is, which I will agree, I am on the side of more on Nick and Rachel's side in this than Nicole's, I guess, if there's a side. But it's our defense is that, no, it's neutral. And yours is like, no, but it's not good. And we're like, no, but it's neutral.
So, I agree with that. Yeah, that's how I feel.
That is not. I'm not here for that. Like,
that's
definitely.
What did you say? Our bar is on the floor. Yeah. Definitely with that one.
Far as like the chemistry and the interestingness of their relationship, yes, their relationship is not that interesting. Their chemistry is not really there on screen, on the page, anything. But yeah.
I agree. I would disagree.
Okay, so
I know that this is like, this might be just a one-off example, but the person I am marrying, I met one day.
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice. We spent...
Rachel Van Winkle.
We spent the entire day together, and then we we pretty much spent every day together after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is possible to hang out with one person all day doing nothing, like hanging around like this weird construction site and like talking and goofing around. And I think that in itself is that scene in itself makes this relationship feel real to me, because it's not like they just see each other from across the street or anything and then all of a sudden they like each other. She had the initial like, oh, I'm attracted to this man. He did a weird meet cute. He motorcycled in front of my
horse. He tried to murder me. He tried to throw me off a horse and paralyze me.
And then they spent the whole day with each other. And then that's what leads her to trust him, because she knows that he has to be true to himself, kind of thing.
And they got really deep really fast with their conversation.
And like they had like conversations that you don't see in like romance movies like that. And I think that, where was I going? I would say
Sam is Vanilla Ice.
Sam is Vanilla Ice. I
just
would
found
say
your Halloween
that
costumes.
That looking,
oh!
We're already going to be Austin Powers, Matt. So,
oh right, I forgot.
So I would say if you look at how many times that he has been a regular, like relatively nice guy, who's just like has a weird funky art side, who like is a vagabond, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he really is.
Compared to the couple, like one or two times where he like snaps at her, when like who doesn't have a time in their lives when they like love this person or like this person, then this person does something that they don't like, and then you say something that you don't mean. Like, I feel like the amount of times that he is a dick stacked up to the amount of times that he is a sincere guy, like it's the weights are just unbalanced. And so I would say that the times that when he is a dick is just chalked up to times when like everybody is a dick, when like their feelings are hurt.
I think that was the point I was trying to make.
Yeah,
about
exactly
that.
Like I wanted to elaborate on that.
And I think this is also like very clearly, Not, I'm agreeing with you. Like that makes the way you explain the perfect day kind of thing too.
Yeah, totally
makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think I didn't get that much from their montage because like a lot of it's sitting on a motorcycle shirtless and just staring in the desert.
Yes.
Which is like, if that's how they want to spend their time, kudos. But for me, it was like I put myself in the position of, like, if somebody on, like, the second or third day I'm hanging out with them is yelling at me, like, oh, just a daddy's, da da da. You're just like, if that's, like, that early on in hanging out.
The passion, Matt. The passion.
To me, it is not even that. It is less deep than that. Mm. I mostly, to me, like, I'm hearing you say all of that, mm-hmm. and I'm like, to me, it feels like you read something there that I was right. not getting all of.
Yeah,
that.
And that's so why, like, I don't disagree with that. The one-off, but I feel like I'm not the one-off. There are definitely people out there who've had a relationship built off of one day.
I don't everything that you are saying, all of that makes perfect sense to me. I'm just, when I'm saying there's nothing there, I just mean in the confines of this hour and a half movie. Like, this movie didn't sell that to me. And so, part of that, I think, is that by the time we're getting to that point, they're like, you, the way that you talked about the introduction to this movie, like, this movie won you at several moments, like, leading up to this, that it didn't win me, right? So, like, the story, what I am saying is that the story never hooked me, like, never connected me. A lot of my trash is rom-coms, like, is stuff like that. And so, like, that whole element of this story for me was like,
it just
like, it was just it was it, because it never hooked me at any sort of prior moment, that whole that bit of it for me was just like so much nothing. That is a plausible interpretation of it. That was not the experience that I had while I was watching it.
Right, there's this tension between, like, personal experience that you bring with you when you see something, and then the experience that the movie's giving back on some level. And, like, for me, I never had a perfect day with anyone, so therefore I can't contextualize that in a way that is moving to me. All I can do is depend on the movie and the actors to give me some chemistry to make me think, I like them together. Ooh, I want to see them end up a thing. And I didn't get that from them.
Or even, like, a slight line or performance, basically that sort of, like, oh, I don't want to leave you at the end of this long day kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like, some line from either of them showing that they deeply care about each other.
And, like, I wasn't unhappy that they went off together. We have watched movies here where I was very unhappy, where there was one, somebody gave up college. What was it? Oh, God.
Oh, never give up college. Wait,
no, it wasn't even for this. It was for the P4A. In the P4A, we watched Break Into Electric Boogaloo.
She gives up, like, a job in Paris, like, dancing in a ballet. To help save like a rec center.
And I was beside myself. I was so upset.
Well, she has, like, multiple opportunities to take it, and then she almost still takes it. And then still decides not to. And you're like, take it.
I was so mad. But in here, I'm not. And I think this goes back to Nicole's point. Was like, I didn't feel much of anything. For them going on.
I don't think they're going to last.
I didn't feel anything.
I'm not even thinking about that.
Even if it doesn't last. Who cares?
I'm saying, it's almost like we're realizing at the end of this podcast that criticism is subjective. And we all have our own experiences with movies.
To this one perfect day, I will say the most chemistry that we saw out of them is during the montages. That is the only bit where I was like, okay, like, they Vanilla Ice can't act. However, they constructed a bunch of scenarios in which they didn't have to have dialogue, and they just, like, had to goof around together and, like, filmed them goofing around together and then cut together that footage.
And Janusz Kaminski made it look good.
That was a really effective use.
The follow-up montage when they're sad because they can't be together, when they're both just, like, sitting around not doing anything, and we get a montage of them not doing anything in different locations, and, like, Vanilla Ice decides to go shirtless, like, at these different locations and just sit and, like, brood and, like, look off screen. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this was just, like, a photo shoot for Teen Beat. And they were like, hey, you mind if we film this for our movie? Because he's just, like, sitting so awkwardly in, like, different positions, like, staring off, just brooding, thinking about his love.
He looks like he's being a model because he's got that 1,000 yards.
Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely, like, the model look. That's, like, what he knows. But it's so good because we have so many montages in this film.
Doesn't have to have that much dialogue. I mean, they're silent films, for God's sake.
The script like it's probably like 5 pages for this movie.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Like, the amount of dialogue in this is very minimal, uh-huh. and there's lots of montages.
They had to write the lyrics to all the songs.
Well, and then there's like they have like their slower song over a happy moment, and then during the sad moment, it's like an upbeat song. And I'm like, you could have just swapped
just
these.
Did that the other way around?
Yeah, I would have felt more in the
That's
sad
Matt's
montage.
Fix.
Yeah, just swap those two songs. Problem solved. Ta-da! I think that it was actually one of my fixes for another real bad movie at one point, and I like had looked it up, and it was because in post production
they did switch those two. Yeah.
And I was like, this song doesn't make sense in this scene. Oh, because it literally was written for the other scene.
Oh my god.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So this felt like that. I was like, just swap those two. Perfect movie.
Well, I have one last point to bring up before we move on to how
I was
we
joking
would fix
about
this.
The perfect movie thing.
No, that's where
Deep
we're
down,
ending.
That's the end. That's
the end.
I don't like rap. I just wanted to put that out there.
While we're giving the hottest
Yeah, the hottest takes. Yeah. Nick doesn't like rap.
Or children, or the environment, yeah. or love in movies.
Oh, yeah. man.
This is quite the list.
Make like a super cut of all the things.
The, where did the environment like? One come
There was
from?
Some...
Oh, was it Birdemic?
Maybe, yeah, because it's like a very like green
My line
movie.
Was, I'm not into the environment. Meaning, I'm not really into camping or, you know, yeah. but it was a perfect way to, it's you just, should. I don't fucking care.
It was also like the week after he had said, like, I don't like kids.
No, no, I said it on that podcast because those two goddamn kids were in there.
Well, that one's okay.
But it was like a week of hot takes of like, don't care about the environment or children. Nick Jenkins.
Yeah, you're
so
welcome.
So anyway, the latest thing that...
Rap.
You just, don't like rap.
I just never really connected.
Hippity hoppity music they got going on, these kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Was that supposed to be me?
Yeah.
No.
No, oh. It's like...
It's a generic man.
Yeah, in, generic.
It's me.
It's like old man yells...
generic man.
Old man yells at cloud, you know?
Yeah. So continue yelling at cloud.
Okay. I don't really like rap.
We're going down in flames, guys.
But I like, you know, I there are a couple songs, there are a couple Eminem
but
songs
you love
that,
Vanilla Ice
that
is what you're about to say.
Yes, I love that one song. I do really like Under Pressure, though.
Like, can we name any song in this movie besides probably the first song's called Cool as Ice?
No, it's not. Oh, God.
It's not?
It's called Loosen Up, I think.
Oh, God.
Are really? You sure or, it's not? I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, well, cool as ice in it.
That's why, right?
Okay, but wonder what it's called.
All right, Nick, finish your point. Anyway, yelling at the cloud.
You nearly killed Rachel.
I almost spat on you.
Your thermos is green, too.
I know. Wow.
My God, it
I'm
is.
They're all green.
So
we're
I
losing
just,
it. We're
I just wanted to say,
pull up, Nick. Pull up.
I just wanted to say that I don't know. Both of the beginning and ending rap numbers, I thought were just like I was bobbing my head along. I was like, yeah, this is fine. And to say that in a movie like bad movies with music, oh dear. Like usually the music is a problem and usually really really bad. But not in here. I was just sort of like, oh, it's generic Vanilla Ice rap. It's fine. I had a fine time. Like, okay, so what was it called?
Cool as Ice, parentheses, Everybody Get Loose.
Everybody Get Loose. Okay.
So we're all right.
Yes. At the end
maybe
of the
that's
day.
Why cool, like, cool as Ice. Maybe that's why Vanilla Ice was so like big was because A, he was white.
Yeah.
He still is white. And B, he's like...
safe.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Oh, no, that
what
was...
What society
the...
saw yeah, is yeah, like, yeah. Oh, I don't like these NWA
yeah.
guys rapping about killing cops. I'll take this guy who's singing about absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
yes,
that was
totally.
Him and MC Hammer both. Yes. Where that they fit into that thing. Both of those people were very safe.
Yeah. He's like the elevator version of rap.
Yeah.
Elevator music version
yeah.
of rap.
Absolutely.
The Muzak of rap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Muse rap.
Muse rap.
Yeah. Someone yes. had to. And two of you did.
And I got there at the same time. Did
rap
someone
Zach?
Have to?
No.
Oh, yeah. See, anyway. He tried to keep going.
All you... right. Fine. Fine. How do we fix this?
More motorcycle stunts.
Well, I could agree with that. All right, Matt, we're starting with you.
Yeah, go.
That's it. No, that
switch
was...
the songs. Perfect.
Switch
movie.
Those songs. More motorcycle stunts. No, I just that was like the parts of the movie that brought me the most joy was these random jumps he does on his motorcycle that make zero sense because there's no ramp, but he suddenly jumps a fence and scares a horse. There's no ramp, but suddenly he jumps through the wall of a second story of a construction site to scare some robbers. There's no ramp, but then suddenly he jumps over a Corvette and no one gets hurt.
And he makes, but he makes Dick, Nick Dick, real sad. When he jumps over the...
That was so good.
Yeah. I don't understand because it's so like, they're going to ride off into the sunset. He's like, wait a minute.
No,
he's
like, wait, turns around. I forgot something.
Yeah. Even that scene was sincere because he didn't ruin his car or anything. He just jumped over
somehow. That's not how motorcycles work, though. You can't just ollie a motorcycle.
I'm sorry. Do you yeah, ride motorcycles?
You ride?
No, because I know it's not possible to jump a Corvette, and that's the only thing I want
to
do.
That's the only reason to ride it. You're not wrong.
But yeah, in my notes for my fakes, I said, make more stuff happen, I guess.
That's a fair criticism.
Because, like, honestly, as, like, perfect or imperfect, whatever the relationship is, that was not a plot line in this film.
Right.
It was two people met, they liked each other. The end. Like, they had to add in this dad, like, witness protection stuff to complicate the plot to make it a movie. So, if you took maybe a little bit less of the dad stuff and made the relationship a little bit more complicated and have them break up for a significant period of time and have them have to, like, actually work something out, that might be a little bit more interesting and actually give moments where they can show that they care about each other and want to be together. Or whatever. But I think, yeah, just in general, nothing really happens in this movie. Even when you start to think about, like, the witness protection stuff. Like, those bad guys were just caught because Vanilla Ice burst in on them and rescued the little kid. And then all of a sudden the cops were there.
Yes.
But, like, the cops were there at her house arresting the bad guys. But they were at the construction site.
Oh yeah, they drove him up. The woman bike motorcycle rider was driving a Cadillac. I guess it was their Cadillac, the bad guy's Cadillac, with them strapped to the front of it like Batman would strap a crime boss,
or you would like strap a deer after you hunt it. I forgot that completely. But okay, yeah, because you apparently can only arrest people at the main street where you have your permit to film.
Yes.
So, that's not how arresting works either. You can't just deliver criminals to the cops and go, we got them.
Yeah, it's like, who do you have?
Who do you have?
What you did here was abduct someone.
Yeah, you kidnapped someone. What you're saying they did, you did. We have proof.
Because you like literally came to us and did it.
Yeah.
You abducted and assaulted them.
But yeah, on top of that, I would just maybe add in a number, a musical number or two on top of what we have, because right now it feels like fluff on the ends with like a little musical number in the middle to show that he's cool to those weird cartoon nerds.
I mean, that was kind of the saving grace of Break Into Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
It was like there were a few dance numbers that were like, that's cool.
And that's what you can do with a movie that doesn't have a lot of story or dialogue.
Yeah.
It's like you can break into these musical numbers and like, maybe try to tell a little bit of story through that or do it Purple Rain style. And he's like making these songs for her. I don't know. Make it more interesting overall, please.
Do more stuff. Nicole, yes. What do you think?
I mean, yes. Make more stuff happen.
Burn it down.
Sorry, I stole the most general note.
Yeah. I think, like, to me, the absurdities of this movie were the best parts of it, but it never went far enough. And again, like, as I said earlier, the best parts of this movie were the parts of it that felt like a music video. I don't know why all that stuff in the house was happening, but I was like, this is great. Sure. More of, like, if this is what we're going to do for an hour and a half.
The little bantery moments between the husband and wife when they're fixing the thing.
Yeah.
He's like, help me. He's like, I don't want you to pinch me. And I'm like, this scene doesn't need to be in this movie at all, but it's great.
But yeah, yes, yes. And like, and more stuff like that where they're not, I don't know, giving Vanilla Ice lines to say. And like, so more leaning more into the over the top aesthetics of this movie. I think I would have enjoyed it more. Like, I wanted to be watching the movie that Rachel, I wish I had had the experience that Rachel had. And I think that we could have gotten there by doing more of, like, more stuff with the couple at the house, doing more weird montages with, like, Vanilla Ice music playing in the background. That would have been great.
Mm-hmm. Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I like this movie, but I mean, there are also obviously some things that could have been changed, like punching up the script. I think I would remove the bookend music things. And that would
stab
cut
me
out
in the heart.
This is the how to ruin this movie segment, Rachel.
That would cut out what, 20 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
And that's 20 minutes you can put into developing these like cop characters and like the whole witness protection storyline. I would still say having music numbers, like taking out those bookends and then inverting them back into the movie, mm-hmm, like what mm-hmm. Matt was saying, would, and like for more purposeful times, like maybe he went to this to a bar, to a club where he was supposed to they were supposed to perform and stuff like that. And then, yes, definitely doing more scenes, weird montage scenes as well. Like, one of my favorite scenes was when you are first introduced to the family, and it's like this weird sped up, like,
oh man, that yes, is some yes, 90s video.
Head.
Yeah.
And like the little brother is like in the corner, and like the when the mom hands the dad the was like a glass of water or something, mm-hmm. and like she looks at, side eyes him with a wacky like smile, like those kinds of things are so hilarious and so pointed, in the sense that like here are these like juxtapositions, like we're in this weird Americana, like Bakersfield type of area of California, maybe, I don't know,
or Ohio. I'm not exactly sure where this was.
Like the way I got it was like they're traveling and they're in between cities because they're fields, and like I remember that from California.
Oh yeah, Bakersfield is a really good
yes, exactly. And so I think adding in a lot more of those juxtapositions would really take this movie from being like making it more camp, mm-hmm. or like making it more loud, I think would bring it up a level.
Well, I think that's interesting because it's very close to what I'm kind of combining yours and Nicole's a little bit here, which mm-hmm. is like this movie needed to lean into something.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was too middle of the road, mm-hmm. where the characters were middle of the road. I mean, you can't just put a giant jacket on somebody and give him a funky haircut and make him interesting.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's got to be more there, and there was nothing. And I would have loved to have seen, you know, a more lovable idiot of him, you know, like where the sprinklers went off. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because he's not like he's playing this cool, you know, guy, and then he gets hit by the sprinklers because he's not used to having automatic sprinklers mm-hmm. where he's from, because he's from the hood.
Yeah. But like, you know, for me, I'm already invested in these characters. Like, help me be more invested in these characters.
Well, also, like, help me stay in a world.
Mm.
So, like, I felt like there were a couple different worlds in this movie.
Mm.
And both, like, cinematographically, you had, like, that sequence which you're that you're talking about, where the camera's rushing through the house, finding a character and introducing it, and then rushing through. And then you have the, you know, the dance numbers at the beginning and the end, which are its own sort of music video thing. And then you have that house where the mechanics live, which is its own sort of, like, let's pick a direction and make the movie that. Or you could do the, you know, basically, like, the 8 Mile version of this, which is a hard grounded in reality thing. You couldn't, because Vanilla Ice is no Eminem in terms
of
acting.
That seems off the table as an option.
Very possibly off the table. True.
But you're like, your idea of like pick a direction or be wacky consistently throughout is like, you can do all those weird things, but when you stop and try to have like a serious moment in between those things, we're caught off guard by that.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, they're totally. I was noticing a lot of like the shots, because they're very well shot. So like, it was similar in that, like, when we had a boring shot of the two guys pulling up to the house that looked like it was shot from 500 yards away through like a shitty camera, I'm like, oh, why is that so bad? everything else looks so good right before this, and now that shot looks bad.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing with like the storytelling beats, where it's like, yeah, you have the fun, wacky stuff that's drawing attention to itself, and then you have the stuff that's trying to like disappear and not be that interesting.
It's
and
just it's straight like, up eye level 55, yeah. 50 millimeter lens.
Right. And because we just had the experience of everything else, it seems even more boring than it actually
right,
is.
Right, because of the juxtaposition.
Yeah.
So I just feel like they needed to lean into something. Make it one big crazy music video. Mm-hmm. You know, the movie looks good for $6 million. Like for a $6 million movie in 91, this looks really good.
I love that it didn't have CGI.
Well, 91 would have been before 99% of all CGI.
You would have had to have a much bigger budget to pull off anything CGI, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this would have been pre-Terminator 2 and obviously pre-Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But it would have been post young Sherlock Holmes. So
this was like right in that cusp of like some movies got to have CGI and other movies couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Only a year after The Abyss, though, because I think The Abyss was 89.
Yeah.
So anyway. Well, okay. So that's how we would fix it. It's similar points throughout there, except I would not cut those dance scenes. No,
but she wanted to repurpose them in a functional way.
Reshuffle it. Okay.
Yes.
And
like,
I'm there for
make
that.
Them shorter, like 2 minute
sure,
long.
Sure.
Like,
I could give you that too.
Because like, they obviously, like we said earlier, they had the script and it was 5 pages long and they're like, oh crap, we need to fill this movie up. And then they bookend the movie. So I think that it was obviously fluff.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and before we move on to how we would rate it, I do want to mention the one moment I had in the movie, which is ridiculous. But so I'm on a Slack channel where we're constantly recommending music to each other. And usually that's through music videos because it's the best way to do it on Slack. And I've been going down a glam rock rabbit hole. And so I'm watching the beginning of this movie and Monique comes up to him and gives Vanilla Ice her number. And I was like, she looks really familiar to me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why is she so beautiful? Why do I know her? Why? And then I was like, is that Bobby Brown? And I was like, it has IMDb. And I looked it up. Son of a bitch, it's Bobby Brown. So Bobby Brown is, she was in Great White's Once Bitten, Twice Shy video. But more importantly, for like pop culture, she was the main model in Cherry Pie.
The Warrant.
The song. Warrant song, Cherry Pie. Hmm. That was her. And she ended
that
up.
That was one of my favorite songs when I was like 4, which is weird. But again, sisters into hair metal. That was like.
But you would have liked Cherry Pie.
I mean, yes, because I didn't know what Cherry Pie was supposed to be.
Well, yeah. But I just found it funny. It's like, just Bobby Brown. And she's in here. She has no lines. She just gives him a number and walks off. And that's it.
She's also in Last Action Hero.
Yes, she is.
Better movie.
Can I say also, because we've mentioned this, the jacket multiple
Ooh,
times,
yeah.
It's one of like 5 of the trivias on the IMDb.
Yeah, there's not a lot of information about
not
this movie.
A lot, which is so weird. Johnny Van Owen's jacket is embroidered with...
his name is Van Owens?
That's what it says.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay, so your real name's Rob Van Winkle.
Oh, let's take
your character's
one.
Name is Johnny Van Owens.
Buried the lead there, Rachel.
Delightful.
but they list the things that are on the jacket.
Oh, because it's like the black jacket with like a bunch of white like text all over it.
Mm-hmm. And here's what's on it, in case you wanted to know.
So I can make a replica.
Danger, deep, down by law, freeze, hype, ice, lust. Ah, yeah. Exclamation. Roland, sex me up. Yep. A question mark. Dope. The letters JK surrounded by a star.
So this jacket is the embodiment of Jared Leto's Joker.
Instead of having it tattooed on his forehead.
Yeah.
Man, they should have just taken this jacket. Like dyed it purple or something.
No, I'm going to put damaged on his forehead.
Oh my God.
I was looking up. I was like, I hope those are the names of his songs from his album. They're not. But like the way you were saying it, I was like, those sound like they could be song titles.
It just, yes, it needed to be a better like crossover.
Yeah. He needed to just be Vanilla Ice,
yes,
maybe.
Exactly.
The people, the writers were like, we don't need to lean on him.
No.
We could do it for ourselves.
Right.
Oh, no, I think they got it. I bet they got into rehearsal and they were like, oh, no, we can't lean on him. There's nothing
they
there.
They could lean on him for looky looky.
Yeah. Wait, this movie was supposed to be 2.5 hours long. What do we do? Let's just make him stare a lot. He's good at that.
Dance scenes.
Dance scenes.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to how we would each rate this. I'm going back to the OG rating system for mine. I'm going back to what category of storm is it? Category one, that's not too bad. Little drizzle. Category five, that's bad. It's bad, 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 bad. I'm going to give this a category two. It's not good, but it's not. It's also like harmless. And there are some things about it that I liked. And I did enjoy my time watching it. Like, I didn't get to the end and go, good fucking God. Oh, we're done with that. So, yeah, this is a category two. Matt?
I am also throwing it back to my original rating system, which was the number of possessed mushroom puppets.
Yeah.
Based on our first episode, Troll. Because I didn't understand that the rating system was going to be so important. So I just did an enjoyment scale of possessed mushroom puppets. And
so much happened just now.
Well, so I like had one number written down in my notes. And the more we've talked about it, I've questioned it.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
But what direction?
In the direction that would make Nicole happier than it would make, like... you two.
Yay!
I got no horse in
this
race.
The more we talk about it, I'm like, you know what? And the more we talk about it, I'm done with this film.
Yeah.
I never need to see it again.
Right.
I'll never be done with it. This was my second round,
and
baby.
That's how I felt after I first watched it. I was like, oh, I'd watch this again. But now that we've talked about it, I'm like, no, I'm good. That was fine. It was good. I can move on. So it gets
You'll be Matt.
Three possessed mushroom puppets.
Three out of five. That's still pretty good.
It was going to get four.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
then we talked about it.
Yeah, that's, I feel like 3 out of 5 is reasonable.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole?
Well, I had scrolled through and I had found my emoji, but now I feel like I also should
return to form.
Which is still emoji related,
it
right?
It is still emoji related. It is the sunglass wearing dude, which is, you know, also kind of fitting. Feels like it fits this movie,
yeah.
Right? You know,
he had some ridiculous sunglasses.
I wish I had those.
I forgot about it.
100%. Yes.
Whoa.
We didn't talk about how much of like a time capsule this movie is for 1991.
Yeah.
Of just like, yes, lots of things are really exaggerated, but at the same time, there were people like Vanilla Ice, for instance, who were like popularly wearing these clothes around outside.
Also, a lot of that stuff is like coming back now.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
So watching this movie, it's a lot of like, yeah, I would wear a lot of this.
Like, oh, look, it's Billie Eilish. I mean,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Billie Eilish does have giant coats.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And neon.
But she's also so tiny.
Well, yes, maybe they're normal coats.
Yeah.
And she's just tiny in them.
Anyway, sorry. How many sunglass wearing emojis, Nicole?
I am also going with 3.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. Because again, I wasn't unhappy. At no point was I like, I delivered a thing. I also don't ever want to watch this again. But I wasn't, at no point did this movie make me mad. And at a few points, it actively made me like smile and laugh and like it made me happy. It's more, I feel similarly to Matt, though, in that my experience with this is that talking about it, like having to think about this movie.
Yeah.
If I had just let this movie wash over me, I would have been like, okay, whatever. That was like a funny whatever.
Somebody bring it up later and you'd be like, I think I saw that one time.
Right, do you have a really
big jacket?
But having to spend as much time talking about this movie as I spent watching it, it's like, well, you know, it's not great. But,
I think I'm cool as iced out.
Yeah, like I'm done now. But I take that back. This is not the highest I've rated any movie that we've discussed on this podcast.
We talked about Crossroads.
Yes. But yes, 3 out of 5 sunglass emoji dudes.
Sweet. Rachel, you're the only one who hasn't changed.
I've never changed it just because I am, I don't know.
But that lazy. Changes today.
Oh, I should go the other way around. What would it be?
What Star Wars movie is it, Rachel?
Oh no, I would have to pick the words from his jacket.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah, which oh, word on his
what
jacket
word
is
it?
Okay, let me look. If you ever start this up again, I'm starting with this.
Yeah, the new rating system. What word on Vanilla Ice's jacket and Cool as Ice is this movie?
Hmm. For the record, this is the emoji I picked.
Okay. That winky one. Eye tongue out.
This guy.
Oh, yes. It's
the okay. Emoji.
I think so. Out of them, I would pick...
You got to stick with this.
I know.
It's not
this is forever. Yeah. This goes down in the record.
I think I would pick freeze because because
no, I don't think you need to go on.
We all understand.
It's the most apropos to the movie, and the movie is kind of like doing what it set out to do. I mean, really, like, it's not like they made it and they're like, this is gonna win the Oscar, baby. No.
Rachel, wait. I love you.
Yeah, but also you just made me think way too hard about the title of this movie and how it means nothing.
Correct. It means that Vanilla Ice is the star of this movie.
Yeah
and but he's has cool. Vanilla Ice and freeze and
okay.
A minus.
You could have picked the question mark.
No.
Oh, you like it. Yes. That's right.
All right.
She has to express her respect for this film.
And I'd watch it again. 3 years down the line, if I have to watch it again, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Rachel's going to start her own
real cool, but just about Cool as Ice every week.
Everybody has to watch it.
Yeah,
we're gonna every do time.
Like who you interview a different person about,
and then I have to convince them. Or it's
Cruel
like
as Ice is the name of your podcast
documentary of me making a better Cool as Ice version. Whoa. Or the making of Cool. Okay, I'm.
I bet Vanilla Ice is available. If you want Vanilla Ice to star, I bet he's available.
I bet he is.
You think he? I saw that he was paid $1 million. You think he'll take less this time?
He got 1/6 of the budget.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, he was already doing real well. So, although I guess Suge Knight took a lot of his money.
That sounds like a Suge Knight thing.
So anyway, okay, time for our final segment. It's called Real Good, where we recommend something real good for you to watch instead of this. I will.
Instead of this movie. I thought you meant instead of this segment. Like you were just like, no, this is the final episode. I'm canceling this segment.
This episode is canceled.
No.
We're ending the podcast and I'll leave you in an abyss of nihilism. Good things have been canceled.
You know, that does sound like something I'd do.
But no, instead of Cool as Ice, you're going to recommend we watch something good, Nick.
Yes, I am. And this is hard for me because like
what could
this
you
is...
possibly pick that it's not
this is...
Rachel, are you just going to recommend this movie?
This no. is so not my kind of movie. Like this is so out of like
there's love, there's kids, there's the environment.
That they're outside, they're on a horse.
They're on a horse for God's sakes. And I'm just not into horses. But like I don't know, it's not really something that I gravitate to. But I would say if you want to watch a movie that is really good, interesting take on taking a pop star, making them or trying to make them a movie star and using their music to put them forward, I would say go watch Purple Rain. I think Purple Rain is an interesting movie. It's not great, but it is good. And talk about a time capsule. It is also a motherfucking time capsule. So, yeah. So that's
Morris
my really
Day and the motherfucking time capsule.
Yeah.
See what I did?
I do see what
that's
you
a very did. Weird Purple Rain joke.
It's also like a. Well, we could go a lot of different directions. Anyway, Nicole, what is your real good?
So I'm going same direction as Nick, and that is, you know, vehicle for a pop star. While I was watching this, I really just wanted to be watching Crossroads, which is another movie that we talked about on this podcast that I don't think is bad. That
I think we all agreed was not bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's a good movie. Much like this movie, really, more songs. If you're making a vehicle for your pop star, just let them sing. Let them do their music.
Not cover songs. Yeah.
But that movie did have, built in, it said, okay, yes, this is a vehicle for our pop star. Let's make her character a singer.
Yeah.
So that she can have an excuse to sing.
Whereas in this movie, he is a rapper.
Yeah.
But only raps in a warehouse.
That's true,
and
right. Yeah. The conceit is built in, but they didn't do anything with it.
He just randomly raps at a club to make nerds cooler.
Anyway,
I love that clubs. That Candy Shack, Sugar Shack.
Those Sugar
nerds
Shack
were so hilarious.
Yeah. Well, also,
it was
like,
so bright in there.
That, it was very bright. And also, that band was like playing a weird cover of something.
Yes, and I love those two guitar twin guys. What the hell? It was very, so weird.
It was a very weird band that I'm like, I would watch that band.
Yeah.
But he comes in like, these dudes suck, nerds. Let me rap. Get off the stage! No, he like unplugs their stuff. Like all of their stuff is plugged into one power,
just one.
Like a surge protector, and he just goes yoink.
I think their guitars only had one string each, too. It was really weird. Anyway,
that just adds to the weird.
Rachel, what's your real good?
Per usual, I always have more than one because I never follow the rules. While I was watching this, I couldn't help but think about John Waters, because all his movies are so like camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And
intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that if you go full camp with Cool as Ice, it could be like a John Waters movie.
That is a fucking dynamite
fix. Just have John Waters direct this.
Yeah. No shit.
I
would watch this movie again.
Ow. So I personally don't like Crybaby, even though I feel like it was maybe the most relevant. So I wouldn't really recommend that one, but I would recommend But I'm a Cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, she's a teen, campiness, do the things that you want to do kind of thing. But if we're talking about sweet romance, rom-com type of movie, I would recommend To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Because it is also about this girl who, like, is attracted to this boy, but doesn't want to like him. And he's, like, kind of a ruffian or whatever. And it's very sweet and very different from, like, I would say that is the kind of movie that paves the road for better romance movies for future generations.
Cool. All right. Matt, what's your real good?
My real good is kind of a sincere version of Cool as Ice, if that makes sense.
There's more kickboxing.
The Departed.
There's definitely more kickboxing. Yeah. And I'm out. Goodbye. I prefer Marky Mark. But no, it is a film that is equally about a guy from the other side of the tracks falling in love with the straight-A valedictorian, and her father has a weird run-in with crime. And it's Say Anything with John Cusack from 1989, which is very similar story structure to this.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah, it handles a lot of the same beats, but is a very sincere, like, lots of crying, not the audience, but the characters in the film.
Frasier's dad is in it.
Yes. Not playing Frasier's dad. Yeah, to be fair, John Mahoney's always kind of playing Frasier's dad.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a good film. The last time I remember watching it, it's at least enjoyable. And it just, I kept thinking of it much in the same way you were thinking of Crossroads while you were watching Cool as Ice. I was like, I like that better when it was in Say Anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like Say Anything came out a couple years before this, so there's maybe a little bit of inspiration. And as well as, like, this is based on an old Marlon Brando movie from the 50s as
very
well.
Very loosely.
Yeah, very loosely. Again, it's the same sort of beats of guy from the wrong side of the tracks falls in love with the smart rich girl.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, watch Say Anything.
That's I love this Cool as Ice inspired movie marathon day. I'm ready. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Pretty good marathon.
That's true.
I did.
Yeah. I would watch all of these again. Yeah. Before I would watch Cool as Ice. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me on this odyssey.
Nick, I'm not going to let you wrap up yet.
Okay.
I have a present for you.
Oh, no. My presents on here are notoriously awful.
Well,
no.
This one's a good one.
I was supposed to have a physical present here for you.
You two know about this?
Yeah.
People have been scheming.
There was some plotting.
but there was supposed to be a physical present here to show you, but something broke and it didn't happen. So you're going to see a picture of the thing that you will have a physical version of on Monday. So I'm going to present
and
this
then
to you
in
now.
The, on Twitter, in the you know the show notes.
Yes, everyone else will hopefully get to see this as well.
Audio
but,
medium.
Okay. I made you this present.
Oh my God.
Take it all in.
Digest it. You got to really absorb all the parts.
Hey, Tessa.
So what is it?
It is an Avengers Endgame inspired poster for Real Bad.
Starring everyone who's ever been on the podcast.
Including Abby.
Yep.
Everybody's there. Oh my God. Thank
Nick
you so much.
Nick and Abby are the biggest hits.
Yes, they are the giant looming stars of the film.
The Thanos and the...
Dog Thanos.
Dog Thanos.
I really appreciate that you use like one of my better photos.
This idea came from Devin last night at like 6 p.m. because I was like, oh man, I want to get. She's like, you could make a poster. I was like, I'll see you tomorrow because the rest of my night is spent making this badass poster. So
it is pretty badass.
It's really good. Yeah. It's so good.
So this was my evening last night, and a lot of it was pulling people's like profile photos or their work site photos or their most recent selfies on Instagram.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why that photo, one, because you and Sam were both in it.
Yep.
So it was very
convenient.
Easy to go, don't need to find two photos, got two heads.
One and done.
But yeah, so some people, I'm sure we can post this on both Patreon and on Twitter and stuff like that so people can see. But it, yeah, some people's photos are either their work photos or a weird photo that I found on Facebook because they don't have a big social media presence. Uh-huh. So yeah, there's your present. Real Bad the movie poster.
Oh, that's adorable. Thank you so much, guys.
Now you can wrap up the
okay. The I can't, what broke?
Oh, the photo lab at Walmart, apparently.
Oh!
It was supposed to be ready today around my lunchtime. I was going to go pick it up and present you with a physical copy of this poster that you could hang in your office or something. And,
oh, it's going to be hung somewhere.
Yeah. And I'm getting myself a copy as well. But
well, you are the Steve Rogers of this poster.
Oh, yeah, no. There's the size of heads and the placements are somewhat purposeful as far as like the people who were on the most
right.
have the larger heads
right.
and
That's
are more
what I figured.
Prominent. Uh-huh. It's not a perfect system if you start to dissect it too much.
Like much like the movies that we watch.
Exactly. But there is definitely sort of like a at the front is a grouping of me, Tuna, and Sarah because we were like the Hellraiser crew
uh-huh.
that went through a lot together. And then Tobin's head is I think is the, like the third biggest after Abby's and Nick's.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
It's
but
good.
That's the only photo of Tobin I could find on the internet. So
I think that's purposeful.
Yes. I think so too. So
yeah. I think he's very happy with his minimal appearance online.
Yeah.
So
I like the way that we have managed to work so many absent friends into this final episode.
Yeah.
That was also like one, I'm very sorry to anyone if I did forget you. I don't think I did because there's 23, I think, different people on this.
Yeah.
24,
so mad.
If you include Abby.
Right. And then one person who's
well, that's why I tried to be as thorough as I could without re-listening to every episode, mm-hmm. essentially. It's like, I looked at all the descriptions. I looked at, like, the email that Nick sent out thanking everyone for being on. I think I got everything. I even got Ryan Cole, who I think was on one episode.
Yep, only one episode.
And Tessa Violet as well, who's on one episode. So I think I got everyone. If I didn't, I apologize. It can be altered.
You put Mies on there, and I got all sad because
yeah.
Mies is not
yeah,
here.
Multiple people
that's
have had the same reaction of,
like,
oh, Sarah Miesmer. And yeah. She's just moved to Portland.
She just moved.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Not, yeah.
She got her life all figured
she's
out.
No she's no longer with us.
Yeah. Great. She got out of this winter hellhole of Missoula, and we're all very happy for her. But yeah. I'm still just like I've known Mies for
yeah.
over a decade, so I'm like I saw it. And was like, oh,
yeah.
Still good to clarify yeah. that yeah. she's not dead.
No,
we had like
Mies
a moment
is,
of silence.
Mies is doing great. Okay, well, let's wrap this up because I know Nicole's got family in town and needs to get going. Thank you, guys.
We got things to do probably too, Nick.
Nope, just me.
Just Nicole.
Birthday dinner, Sam.
Everybody but me has somewhere to be. So I'm going to go get some barbecue.
You
That's what
come?
I'm going to do.
You can come.
Go get some
new Thai place.
I'm not gonna. Going to force invite myself to anything. I'm gonna be at home and lonely, and that's the way I'm gonna stay, Rachel.
No, for you, Nick.
So, with barbecue. Thank you guys for doing this goofy podcast with me. I have had a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to getting my Friday nights and Saturdays back, but I have had a wonderful time. Rachel, where can people find you?
You can find me online on Twitter, my full name. You could, if you search my full name, which you should copy and paste, because if I spell it out, it'll take a long time.
We'll be here all night.
Or it's Rachel Calnav. And you can find me on Letterboxd, Real Love, which is the podcast that Sam and I normally do, will be coming back. So
I have so many ideas.
Yeah. We're going to have Nick on it.
Yeah.
Because we found a way to get him on there.
You found a way to have the single guy on.
You bought a third microphone.
Not yet, but soon. But in the meantime, our archive is still up, so check it out.
Excellent. All right. Nicole, you've got two podcasts.
Yeah. So I am all over the internet on all the things at Sweeney Says, or you can find me in podcast form at Snark Squad Pod, or a podcast that I co-host with Matt called Cooler Than Homework, where we're watching Disney Channel original movies.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them. I didn't know about this one.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
You should check it out. Promote more, guys. Yeah,
we tweet every week. You got to follow more.
I'm on film. You have to hashtag film Twitter.
I'm not going to criticize you for not being on Twitter a lot.
I'm going to start tweeting at Rachel, though.
Please do.
Hey, Rachel, here's a new episode. You asked for this.
This is fair.
You can find me on that podcast, too. I have my other podcast, kinda. It'll come back when Real Love comes back, maybe. Maybe we'll time that out, and those two can come back from their indefinite hiatuses at the same time. Go listen to Cooler Than Homework, and you can follow me anywhere on the internet, at Matthew Gatos.
Excellent. And if you want to follow my either day in the life of or nihilistic tweets, you can follow me at NG Jenkins. And I want to thank everyone for listening to Real Bad. For these last 100 episodes, it has been a real treat, because I actually do have a love of bad movies. And real big thanks to Black Duck Studios, I Love It Podcast, Gabby Lazan, Candace, and Anna Moss for supporting us on Patreon. Thank you so very much. Real Bad is a part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. You can go to cageclub.me and check out podcasts like The Contenders, a bi-weekly podcast about the movies made by and starring women who refuse to play by the rules. Tobin and Aislinn Addington co-host, along with a slew of guests. And as we shut down the podcast this last time, try to remember to always learn something from every movie you watch, even the bad ones. And if I can leave you with anything, it's that. And until we are somehow corralled into doing another show about bad movies, this has been Real Bad.